Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a terrific football Friday. Just had Stephen Jones on. If you want to go back and check that out with the Odyssey app, 105.3thefan.com, Twitch, YouTube, however you like to listen. You can rewind it as long as it's not the traditional radio. That's the only spot you can't rewind it these days. And thanks to Stephen Jones for joining us. We got the C-Note coming up in 20 minutes. Here's Woolchuck with some sports.
All right, let's do it. We got a big football weekend, so let's get into the fix.
You think football is still fun?
Yes.
Sir.
Wrong side!
Left side!
Wrong side!
Left side!
I use these for acid indigestion.
So what are we going to use these for?
Intimidation.
You know I got to get my fix, man.
A stunning come-from-behind victory for the Seattle Seahawks, 16 points down in the final 9 minutes. They had a 3% chance to win, according to Next Gen Stats, after Sam Darnold throws his second half pick, his second of the game. And then Rashid Shaheed, the punt return for the touchdown. They go for two. The flukiest two-point conversion you'll ever see. Zach Charbonnet picks it up. But boom, they get that right. They get a couple of stops. Jackson Smith and Jigba, touchdown, two-point conversion in overtime. Boom, baby. Here's Seattle, number one seed in the NFC. And the Rams collapsed. Oh, they absolutely did. The thick kicker. Harrison Mavis, or Mavis, whatever the hell his name is.
Mavis.
We don't even know who their kicker is. He might even be an imaginary
person. If
they had
Dick of the Kicker like we told him to, they won that game last night.
Missed it. He missed a kick.
We know they have Butthead Pakua.
They did have Butthead Pakua, and we'll get to Butthead Pakua here in just a second. McVay was not happy. Stafford was doing everything he could. I'll tell you this. Despite the loss, I think Matthew Stafford sealed the MVP last night.
Really?
He was brilliant. He really, really was fantastic. He's standing in the pocket. He's getting absolutely smacked.
Had the no-look dime.
Third most. Yeah, the no-look is just such. Nobody does it like him. Like, yeah. Mahomes will no-look it, but nobody does it quite like Stafford does. Puka did have a career-high 225 yards, couple of touchdowns, but Stafford, 457, third most in his career. The two touchdown passes on the road, in the rain. He did his job. Overtime, he gets the ball. What's he supposed to do? You go down the field, you score. He did that. Unfortunately, yeah. The defense didn't hold up their end of the bargain. I think the MVP is his. We will see what ends up happening. It could be Drake May if New England's able to go on and win this AFC East. I could see that, deserving for him. But what Matthew Stafford's done this year with the Rams at his age, absolutely incredible. And kudos to Sam Darnold. Statement win for him.
They do like a little bit of a career achievement award here and there. The voters do, so I wouldn't be surprised
if
Stafford gets that for now. Drake may probably on his way to win MVP at some point in the future, but if you don't give it to Stafford now, he's not going to get one.
Oh, no, this is his best chance, 100%, because I could see, he's pretty much year to year. Like, if they're able to win the Super Bowl this year, I could totally see this being Stafford's last ride.
I mean, weren't there reports that he was in, like, a significant back brace of some kind?
Yes, I mean, there was questions of, I picked them to be the NFC representative. I was nervous about that. I wasn't sure how much Stafford was going to play this year, but fortunately that back has held up. Now we get to Puka Nacua, or what did you call him, stupid Pakua?
Butthead.
Butthead. Butthead Pakua. Well, immediately after this game, and Puka balled out, he goes straight to Twitter, and he says, "Can you say I was wrong? Appreciate you, Stripes, for your contribution. LOL." This is after he took a shot at the officiating last week. So he immediately deleted it, but this was about 30 seconds after losing the game. He gets to the locker room, and he's got to hop on Twitter and blame the refs again.
I mean, he probably saw what the Rams should have done internally immediately, which is to Google the rule and it would have read, no. For whatever reason, a backwards pass isn't a fumble. We treat it like a fumble, but it's a loose ball. And maybe the NFL Competition Committee needs to look at this and say, hey, same rules apply. Can't advance sure. a backward pass.
Yeah, and they might change that. I mean, that would make a lot of sense. I think it should all be the same, in my opinion. If you can't advance the forward fumble, I don't think the backward pass should be advanceable
either. There's inconsistencies
to it. Yeah, we need to go ahead and get on the same page here.
But as a player or as a coach, when you don't know the rules, that's when you shut up.
Yeah.
Right? You don't bring attention to the fact you don't know the rule.
Shut up. So here was Sean McVay. Now, Puka has been fined $25,000 for his comments about the officiating per Mike Garofalo. So he did get fined.
Dang.
But here was Sean McVay. He had no idea about this, the Puka going straight to the locker room and the tweeting. And he, in real time, finds out. This is the back and forth with the reporters.
Kind of taking like a bailed shot there at the refs. I mean,
What are you talking about?
He just put something on Twitter a couple minutes
ago. Yeah, so what are you asking me right now?
Are you okay?
I can't answer questions about something that I'm not aware of.
Okay, but are you okay with players kind of expressing frustration over things like that? Or is that something that you hope that they kind of keep to themselves?
I got to have more information before I answer any of those kind of questions.
What conversations have you had with Puka about his live stream this week?
Yeah, he was very apologetic. I don't think he understood the totality of some of the things. I think he issued that apology. I know this guy's heart. And for anybody that was offended, terribly sorry about that. I know he feels that same exact way. He's a young guy that's a great kid that's continuing to learn about, you know, just the platform that he has. I love him. We're going to continue to put our arm around him and help him learn and grow. But we never want to do things that ever offend anybody. And I know he feels that same way.
So he apologized, obviously. Sean McVay apologized for him. I love what Sean McVay said there. There was more in that pressure, but it was about 2 minutes long, so I cut it in half. And thank you, Jacob, for pulling that. But McVay also did apologize for kind of how quick he was. He's emotional after the game. That one was back and forth. I get it, you know, the heat of battle. And we got a text that came in about the anti-Semitic stuff, and you know, Aiden Ross is the one that needs to catch the backlash. 559, look, speaking as somebody who is Jewish, I agree. The context of that is important. And the people that went out of their way to blow that thing into Puka Nacua was being anti-Semitic, and he didn't know what he was doing. If you watch the video, Aiden Ross, who is also Jewish, gets him to do this celebration that Puka had no idea what he was doing. So there were no bad intentions, in my opinion, from what Puka did. Where Puka needs to learn now is, dude, during the season, you need to cut the live stream stuff out. This is a distraction. And maybe you can handle it. Other people in your locker room and with your team, it's probably not great for them. They don't need this added irritation and the backlash that comes from something like this. Something as harmless as we're practicing a touchdown celebration, but now it's taken and blown into, okay, now we've got to apologize for possibly doing something anti-Semitic. All right, Puka, you need to know better and stay the hell off of the social medias after the game, dude. You don't need to be going straight to Twitter to complain about the refs, and now you're dealing with a fine. So that was on Aiden Ross, the streamer. That was his fault. He needs to take accountability. I think he did for it yesterday. I don't blame Puka as somebody who is Jewish. I don't think he's anti-Semitic at all, but this needs to be a learning experience for him and probably others. Like, let's move on from this. We don't need to be distracting our locker room by causing something that doesn't need to be necessary.
These players and athletes, I think in all sports, at halftime, what's the first thing they do? They go to their phone on the top of their lockers.
Yeah. They're probably searching their name.
They go to the restroom, come back, grab a Gatorade, sit down, and, you know, or with their backs to the other teammates, check and see what's on the phone. You know, maybe they see some comments or something like that, and then they put the phone back up in the top of their locker and, you know, get ready for the second half. It's just a society we live in. We can't live without our phones.
Well, and everybody's so sensitive. You know, that governor, whoever it was, the elected official that's now calling for like Puka to be kicked, like the dude didn't even watch the video.
Yeah.
Like we need to do our due diligence to educate ourselves on a topic before we go out there and just speak on something that we don't know anything about.
We really don't. But this is, trust me, working with all those kids at DallasCowboys.com, I mean, it was a struggle for them. This is, and it's not their fault. It's society the way it is that we have these devices in our hands and we learn a lot. We also, it's like things we shouldn't like be messing with, whatever, have to comment on. It's just now what, you know, we're having to deal with. And I don't know if anything's going to change. To be honest with you, I think it's only going to get worse.
It probably will. You're right.
It's going to get worse.
I'm sure a lot of these players are just going to lean in. And I'm cool with it. Like in the offseason, do your thing, man. Build your brand. Like, go ahead and set yourself up for life after football. The streaming thing is popping. A lot of these influencers now, they've got a bigger platform than even than what we do. You know, people on radio and television, people are going to these podcasts now. I mean, we saw it with the past election, right? It's crazy the pull that the Theo Vaughns and the Joe Rogans and all of these people have now, the Neons and the Aiden Rosses. So, yeah, there's something to it. I mean, smart for Puka, build your brand, but let's not do it in season. Let's not do it the day before a game.
I wish we lived in a world where it wasn't as big of a deal, but it is.
It is.
Yeah. You know, as far as the people wanting to be on social media and do their podcasts. Yeah. But really, it's a world where the rules are set by guys in their 40s and 50s, and it's owned by team by guys in their 60s and 70s. So you're stepping into their world. Yeah. And by the time they get old enough, the next generation is going to be doing silly stuff.
Yep.
You know, so it's a never-ending, like, repeat cycle. Yeah. For me growing up, it was like, oh, you Gen Xers, you don't get it.
No, 100%.
You know, and now we're saying it about the Gen Z guys and whoever's coming up next. Like, it's a self-perpetuating cycle.
Great start for Carthage, by the way. First play of the game.
Touchdown.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's go, Bulldogs. Yeah. 7-0 on a West Orange Stark, the Mustangs. Class 4A D2 Championship. Shout out to Stephenville, by the way. They got a 10-0 win over Kilgore in the 4A D1 State Championship.
Simple toss sweep there. Well-blocked play for Carthage.
Carthage is built, man. They're an absolute juggernaut. Some wide receiver news. Garrett Wilson's been shut down by the J-E-T-S. Jets. Tanking. It's on there with the Green Jets. Then you've got Jacoby Myers. 3-year, $60 million extension with the Jags. This is after they traded for him on November 4th. He's been awesome since they traded for him. 27 catches, 355, averaging 13 yards a catch and 3 tutties. Really nice target there for Trevor Lawrence. They've ascended. Maybe he was just a Jacoby Myers away, Trevor Lawrence was.
Yeah.
We're not buying it. Pretender, no. Contender, or pretender?
I think they got a good coaching staff.
Yeah, I do think Liam Cohen has done a really good job, but you're right. I'm not expecting the Jags to go very far. All right, let's go into college. Josh Hoover, Rockwall Heath product. He's going to enter the portal. So TCU.
Who's not entering the portal?
Could be. Dude, this is kind of the most fun thing about the portal, though, is the quarterback stuff now. Because you have so many good quarterbacks in the portal, and it's like, where are they going to go?
Is USC like the only team that's kept their quarterback so far?
Yeah, and that's the one they announced, like, we're re-signing our guy. And Joel Klatt was livid about that one. But I think on Saturday, we're in for either incredible Cinderella underdog story or, oh my God, what have we done to ourselves with this Tulane and JMU thing? And here was Taylor Lewan.
Stupid.
Busting with the boys. He's got a nice money deal on the line here for JMU and Tulane on Saturday.
If Tulane or James Madison wins this game somehow, I will donate money to their NIL fund.
How much?
I don't know. Name a number.
$100,000?
No.
Sure. You'll donate $100,000.
Cut it in half, call it 50. Cut in half, call it 50.
I'm just saying, whatever it is, it'd be like, hey.
Yeah, okay, I'll donate $50,000 to either Tulane or James Madison if they can beat either of these teams straight up. And I'll dress up in the entire mascot outfit and sit on their diag, and I will apologize to every student that walks by me for the greater part of a day.
Will you shave your head too?
Sure, I'll shave my head. What else?
I don't really know what you're promising to do.
I'll get a nose piercing. Like, what do we...
Oh, I don't know. I'm just wondering, if I'm sitting there excited, seeing Tulane potentially upset Ole Miss, that'd be something to watch for.
I've stood on this G5 thing for a minute now. It's like, okay, now's judgment day. I feel more confident than ever that these teams will not win. So it's like, yeah, you can put anything you want up there. That's what's going to happen. So I got both those.
I love it. He's pretty confident that that's not going to happen. I'm pretty confident it's not going to happen either, but wouldn't it be glorious?
It would be fun, you know, and
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast,
for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
And right before I moved here, one of the last college football games I, quote, covered, and by covered, I mean I went there and got totally hammered, actually ran out of the field after the game, watched Oregon State beat USC as like a 22.5-point dog. I bet on it against the spread and took the money line. I think that was Matt Moore and Jaquizz Rodgers.
Okay.
Like, these things happen.
They do happen.
Every year 22-point games happen, and just with the weirdness going on at Ole Miss,
yeah.
Miles Taylor, I think I'd have that checkbook out right now.
I'm ready. I'm into it. Let's do this thing. All right. Storylines. Oklahoma. Alabama. That's tonight.
You don't believe what you just said.
Yes, he does. He's rocking. He is rocking for Tulane.
Just pull my old guy, Randy Galloway.
They only lost by like 30.
Yeah, and it's a rematch now, right? Nothing good happens in a rematch. That's why we're taking Bama tonight. Another shot at revenge for Kalen DeBoer and the Crimson Tide. A season ago, a below-average OU team crushed their playoff hopes. They were at 6-7. They beat Alabama. Bama doesn't make the playoff. Why? They lose to Oklahoma. This year, they screw them again. They go to Norman. They lose. So now, revenge is on the mind for the Crimson Tide. Now, it could be one of the worst games played in terms of offensive football that we see. Oklahoma, one of the worst offenses in the country. John Mateer at the helm is 78th in points per game. They're 90th in yards per game. They're 106th in rushing yards per game. And Brian, 79th in third down conversion rate. You tell me, is
top
that
80?
Good? Is that top 80? Hey,
yeah.
Meanwhile, Alabama, not much better. They're not looking really good. Their offense is totaled just 209 yards and a shocking -3 rushing yards in the SEC title game.
Yeah. Georgia
wasn't good. 69th, nice, in yards per game. And a dreadful 117th in rushing yards per game.
Is this what we signed up for?
This is what we signed up for. Realistically, and I'm sorry, Alabama and Oklahoma fans, these are not two of the top 12 teams in the country, in my opinion.
I just wondered, did we sign up for this?
We signed up for this.
Highly flawed football teams.
Yeah, we waited all this year.
We didn't want
to
penalize Alabama for playing in the conference championship game, even though they should have been penalized. They lost by 21, and they looked horrible, and they're a three-loss team. They shouldn't have made the playoff. And Oklahoma, I guess you did earn it. You only lost two games, so good for you. But any team that has that bad of offense, and I guess for the defense, like maybe it's unfair to say that because their defense is awesome, but they don't have a shot. You can't be that bad at offense and legitimately, like when we're looking at this, do these teams have a chance to win a championship? No, they don't. Maybe if things click and Ty Simpson gets healthy, if he's healthy again, maybe. Because he looked good in the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
I'd say Bama has a decent
little
shot. Decent, but I mean, they're underdogs in this game. You only have to win a couple to get there. I guess I could see it, but in most years, you have a team that's got at least a really good offense and then a great defense or a great offense and a really good defense. Like, you shouldn't have unbalanced teams in your national championship picture.
A&M in Miami, that's the game tomorrow, 11 a.m. I can't wait to see the environment there at College Station. All right, yeah. Kyle Field's going to be rocking.
This is where this needed to be changed. A&M needed to be playing the night game, and Alabama and Oklahoma needed to be playing the Sluggo 11 a.m. game.
Oh, the flipperoo?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have been in on that for sure. Yeah. And I think the whole thing got screwed because the NFL now was playing on the Saturday.
Yeah.
So they didn't want to compete with the NFL. And I get that.
NFL's crushing that Christmas Day NBA schedule.
The NFL's starting to get greedy and just flex their muscle on everything.
Had a good run.
But Marcell Reed will be a big question. Can he bounce back? You talk about the coaching change, their offense coordinator and defense coordinator at A&M. They're out the door.
They're losing all kinds of coaches over there.
No doubt. And then the strength on strength, the Miami's offense against A&M's defense. We talked about the tackle there at Miami, Cassius Howell, and that defensive line of A&M. I can't wait. That's going to be some best on best right there. And the bulletin board material that Miami's offensive line put out, or A&M's offensive line put out there, Trey Zune on Reuben Bain. That's going to be fun, and I'm kind of rocking with both road teams in these games. I kind of think Miami's going to go to College Station and beat the Aggies, and I'm rooting for A&M in this one, but I don't know. They seem like they're in a bad way right now.
I really don't care who wins. I'm just looking forward to watching the draft prospects. You know what I'm saying, Brian?
That's what you got to do, man.
Yeah.
This is the best time, though. When we get this film, it'll be great to watch these guys the good on good matchups.
Yeah.
Cannot wait. Thank you, old Chuck. Mixed bag of daily sport is in the books. And we got a must-lose game coming up for the Cowboys. Brian gave you breaking news on the corner. We'll reset that and get everything else happening with this football team coming up next in the nation. Shoot, yeah, welcome back. Time now for the C-Note, Cowboys news of the evening. You got Krusty's Corner coming up here in about 15 minutes or so. Of course, what you're drinking, what you're thinking is coming up. We got an eye on the high school football championship games out there. Carthage is driving again. They are up 7-0 against West Orange Stark. Late first quarter over there at AT&T. All righty. Yeah, segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been hurt in an accident, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck attorneys in Dallas. Go to frankelfirm.com. Yeah, practice report is out. We're going to get to that in just a second. The Bills got Matthew Judon, the pass rusher edge that the Dolphins released early this week. And T.J. Watt is out this week for the Steelers along with Nick Herbig. So they got a pass rusher issue as they get set to take on Detroit. Bland and Guyton are out, as we've been expecting. Big list of questionables. Butler, Carson, Lipke, Maffa, Quinnen Williams, and more question marks there on the Cowboys practice report. But if you missed the top of the show, Broadus broke the news. Diggs is going to play. You standing on that, Brian?
I am standing on that one. Yes, I am. Stephen Jones said he was trending in the right direction there, right?
Yeah. So definitely did not shoot it down.
Nope.
If he balls out, you know, let's say two picks and and good PFF scores here for the remainder of the season.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Good film. Brian's looking at the film saying, wow. And, you know, what if I asked you this question? Would you rather keep him or trade him if he snaps into 2023 Trayvon Diggs?
I just, you know, if you're asking me, I was initially thinking keeping him, and then I started kind of hearing things, and I was like, not so interested. But if you're saying the ball out situation, all that, I think I'm kind of still moving on. I know that's me. It sounds like listening to Jerry Jones today talk about it, when Heggie asked him the question, it didn't seem like they were too interested in moving on from him right now.
Yeah.
It didn't sound that way, but.
And that makes me feel like maybe they're trying to protect the trade value.
Yeah, I think they're playing the game a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know. Unless what you hear from other people is total BS.
Personally move on myself.
Yeah,
what if they're bringing in a new DC that really liked him and is going to run man?
Hey, if you're bringing in Al Harris as your defensive coordinator, he's staying. You know, Al Harris is going to get the best out of him, regardless on if he's coddled or I don't care. Diggs was awesome under Al Harris. But I just think in terms of the culture that Shoddy's trying to build, I understand, look, good for him. Maybe he's finally bought in. He said that he wants to be here. If I can get a day two pick or even a fourth, I'm moving on. I mean, if it's a 6 or a 7, it might just behoove me to keep Diggs, right? But if I can get something that's a top 4-round pick for Trayvon, I'd absolutely do it.
Yeah, I would trust Shoddy on this. You know, if he really likes Diggs and feels like, man, I don't know what my defensive coordinator was doing. He played him out of position. You know, we're going to have to take a hit against the salary cap of like $6 million to waive him, or we could keep him for 18. There might be a justification for it, but it's got to start with him playing great here over the next three weeks, and chances for that are low.
You were trying to walk me through a scenario of him getting interceptions and knocking balls down and stuff like that.
Be his first PBU of the season.
That would be rare for anybody playing in the secondary right now for the Cowboys, the way that is. That defense, it's amazing how it for a couple of weeks there, we kind of thought, yeah, okay, maybe some things, you know, after the bye. Oh, look.
Well, you'll see that defense on Sunday. That'd be very Cowboys. They get eliminated on Saturday, and they show up and find a way to beat the Chargers.
Yeah. It's a must-lose game. I mean, you could finish 9-7-1 and end up picking, like, what is that, 19th, 20th, 21st?
Yeah.
You know, you could absolutely play your way out of really good players. And if you lose these three games, you might be looking at the best tackle, the best corner, the best edge.
I think Steven, when you asked him the question, was talking about, like, yeah, we're trying to win these games. Yeah, you're trying to win these games until you realize that, you know what, it's better off that we don't risk Dak Prescott or Quinnen Williams or CeeDee Lamb or somebody like that out there.
Yeah.
You know, that's when... That, to me, sitting in that chair, I always wanted to win all the games because you sign up for, at the time, 16 of them. But there also comes a time where I'm also looking at the places you're about to go play those games. If you're out of it, that field, the old FedEx Field, not good this time of year.
Yeah.
That field at MetLife, historically, not good. you know, cold weather, they're not good. I'm not taking a chance of, you know, having to put myself behind the eight ball in 2026 because I'm trying to win a couple of games to be 500 or something like that.
Yeah, I really wish there could be somebody in charge up there that would really fully drive that message home. But they look at it like every game is a chance for people to fall in love with our team. There's thousands of people that have never seen a Cowboys game. They're going to come and watch our crappy players get steamrolled. They might decide then I'll never like this team.
It's possible.
I think to me the attitude of the head coach, we heard Stephen Jones talk about that just a little bit ago. And that's why I asked him the question about, well, okay, if Shoddy went in there and wants to fire somebody, you guys going to do everything you can to do it? I believe they would. But if Shoddy walks in there and it's like, Shoddy will want to go in there and win the games, you know, so he's going to want to play. But there's a side of me also that's kind of thinking about, man, you know what, let's take a peek at Joe Milton. Let's see if we can, you know, let's take a peek at some of these guys and get an idea. Big picture thinking, if you were in the last year of your job and you're trying to get an extension, and you know, I can understand trying to win those games, but you know, with thing, if you're out of it, there's no reason to, you know, play for the better draft position, you know, look at some younger guys. What if all of a sudden you put Phil Moff in the game and he rushes really well the Commanders against the Giants? What if you put a combination of Flannoy and Mingo in there, and all of a sudden Mingo looks a lot better catching the ball?
Mm-hmm.
Whoa, wait a minute. Luke Schoonmaker actually making some plays here?
Made one last
come on, don't go that far.
But you get what I'm saying.
Good one, Brian.
But you get what I'm saying.
Yeah,
you know, I do, absolutely. You know, I
mean, all of a sudden you're playing. Now, maybe you take Overshown out.
No, don't do that.
Well, okay.
He needs to play.
I get it. But to me, it's
we've
like,
been winning Overshown. Overshown still needs to earn it.
Definitely take Murray out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Play Shamar James. Yeah. Play Maris Leofau.
But you've honestly seen what James looks like, right? You kind of
saw for a few. But yeah, I mean, he's also a rookie, right? I mean, a guy could get better from when we saw him last to now.
I'm with you.
We did see a few weeks of him.
I'm absolutely with you. I'm totally with you on this one. But see, I'm thinking like long term. I might consider playing T.J. Bass, one of those guys that takes Smith out.
Yeah.
Smith's had a knee injury year long. Why not get him a little, like, get him a start? If he needs to go get a scope, get some rest, get him ready for the offseason. You know, there's some things that they could do. And you know, you could try with these guys. Hell, yeah, you could try you wanted the Jets game with a backup offensive line.
For sure. You're capable of beating Washington or the Giants with all the guys we talked about. And I think that the finale against the Giants, I think you'll see that. I think they're going to play the next two out, assuming the Eagles don't keep you in this thing.
If the Eagles lose,
it's a different story.
If the Eagles lose, you got to. It's all hands on deck until you lose. Yeah.
But the Eagles win. I would be willing to bet the finale in New York is when you'll see Dak's not playing, and a lot of these, and Tyler Smith's not playing.
That's what I'm saying. Butler needs to be out there.
I think
Moffa
you'll get that.
Needs to be out there. You know, sit all those guys down that are all banged up now.
Yeah. Yeah, an 8-8-1 finish. Probably
Jason Garrett made a living doing it.
Yeah, he sure did. And that's what Shoddy needs to realize is you're not going to be evaluated on what happens this year. You'll be evaluated on what happens maybe in year three and year four.
You
got plenty of time. But it's most important that you make decisions now to put yourself in the best position possible. And like literally, once you're picking outside of the top 15, 16 players, you can get a guy who can't even start for you in year one. Jerry Jones would like to re-sign Javonte Williams. He's had an outstanding season, he said, with KNC today. I love the way he brings the wood, so to speak, when he runs. He says, looking forward to him hopefully being a Cowboy for a long time. Some of the reasons we make some of the decisions we make is so that we can have the availability in that thing called the salary cap, which is
it's real.
Real as if you were out of scholarships if you were in college. Yeah. That's the reason we made some of the decisions this year we made so that we can have the money available at running back.
Well,
okay, so this was a step back of spending, perhaps to get ready to spend a little bit more, and Javonte Williams has earned it. Wouldn't be surprised if shortly after the season ends, but even before the full-on free agency gets there, that you get a deal done with Javonte Williams, because you know, that's a perfect situation. He's not such a big name. He doesn't like run away from guys in a superstar way that's going to create a massive market for him.
Mm-hmm.
You should be able to get something done before he goes out there in free agency, and I would say with his pass protection, You know, it's just a massive benefit. It's like, it's kind of like Zeke with his ability to pass pro. Tommy Yarish, how about this? Since the trade deadline, Quinnen Williams leads all NFL defensive tackles with a 20.3 pressure rate. I think Steven saw that, actually. He mentioned that when he joined us.
He gets all the clips, yeah.
Says Osa is 12th best at 10.1%. Mm-hmm. So I guess there's some value in there with Osa when it comes to his pressure rate. However, in that time span, Dallas edge rushers have a combined 7.8% pressure rate. That's over the last five games, yeah. And that is now third lowest in the NFL. They got to do something big and drastic.
Yeah.
I hope Trey Hendrickson's in play.
Does the back?
Yeah, I worry about the health with him right now.
You're like the guy that always talks, and I mean this in respect. I don't mean this in disrespect. You're always the guy that talks to me about, I don't know, Broadus, the guy's got a bad back, guy's got a bad knee, guy's got Tommy John. You're always kind of talking me out of these hurt players.
Yeah.
And now you're like jumping both feet up on the table for a guy that's got core and back problems.
Okay, so.
At 30 years old. That's, yeah. I wonder what changed. This is a New Year's resolution for you? What's going on?
He's having core muscle surgery.
He did just turn 31. Okay, he's played 15 games or more every year since 2020. Now,
okay.
This year,
okay.
Stopped him short at seven games. I'd want to lean on my trainers with this one, okay. But I think he's going to hit for around $30 million, where the top of the market with Miles Garrett,
47.
T.J. Watt, and Micah Parsons is significantly higher. I think desperate times do call for desperate measures.
Okay.
I'm open-minded to hearing about more durable guys, more available guys than what Trey Hendrickson is. But I think 2026, 2027 is a very unique situation where you've got to go for it with the best possible players you can bring in by any means necessary.
I'm in with you on that. I just if he's cleared and he's healthy, you're not going to find much better than Trey Hendrickson. The dude, back-to-back season, 17 and a half sacks. I'm a big fan, but at that age, core muscle surgery just has me a little bit nervous. I just need to make sure physically he's good to go.
Yeah, we'll get our medical guys on this situation.
I need you to go examine him, doctor.
It's amazing to me.
I'll take a look.
It's amazing to me.
You know, I'm paranoid. I mean,
he might have a crack problem here. We need to worry about
it. He split his crack.
Okay, let's get out of here because we got Krusty's Corner coming up next. We've had enough talk about my crack this week. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Restroom revelations last night. I still feel traumatized from that. Brian, what did you take?
It carried over to the first segment of Fan After Dark.
Did it?
Eric went back in there for more.
I saw Fred leaning in through the window. I think he was highly intrigued by that conversation.
That show is built for that kind of bathroom revelation.
You know what I did when I got home last night?
Wiped back to front.
It did.
No way.
Honestly,
just to try it out.
It wasn't too bad.
See? You can keep things sanitary.
Wasn't too bad.
Krusty's Corner's coming up next. Brian, where are you taking it?
Yeah, I'm going to let you know who the officials are for this game. We'll go through the Zebra Report next.
Okay, I want to get you over to Men's Tea Clinic here because we're getting ready to end the year. I hope you have all the energy to just crush the holidays and do whatever needs to be done for yourself and your family. But if you don't, and if you're dragging, you're experiencing brain fog and lack of libido, go to Men's Tea Clinic because they will get you so dialed in by optimizing your hormones. It's going to feel outstanding. Okay, so 5 DFW locations, very affordable cash options. They also take your insurance, but Men's Tea Clinic has been with us since they opened up their doors there in Addison, their first location back in 2014, and we love them. Our Tolos describe Men's Tea Clinic's therapies as life-changing, and it's not just the testosterone replacement therapy. I mean, they are the best at TRT, but they also have great preventative care and wellness. Let Men's Tea Clinic help you build a roadmap for preventative care from anti-aging, bedroom health. Men's Tea Clinic can help you unlock the tools and in-tandem therapies to help you achieve your long-term health goals. And, it does start with testosterone, but it doesn't end there. They have great hair replacement therapies, natural regenerative therapies for joint pain that pro athletes get to come back from operations, get back in the game. Men's Tea Clinic, empowered.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Care for Men, all under one roof. Don't go it alone. Tap into the team that I trust, that we trust. It's Men's T Clinic for total male optimization. 972-GO-MEN'S-T, 972-GO-MEN'S-T. Saturday appointments are available. They'll get you in tomorrow. You're going to be supercharged for the holidays. Go to menstclinic.com. Salute.
Hey, hey, kids. Your old pal Krusty's going to teach you 5 new words.
You're not wrong about that.
From Dallas, Texas, number 55, Brian Waters.
Thank you very much, Jake. Appreciate you playing that. Thank you to Greystone as well. Zach and I had a new Love of the Star podcast.
We do. It's out right now.
You out
can
right
go ahead
now
and listen to it and download it and subscribe and like and share.
Yeah.
Shoot, yeah.
We appreciate all that.
We love you. We love the on-time experts.
We're trying to get back into the good graces of Odyssey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were like a 3% podcast team. We're trying to get it up.
Get to the 4?
Trying to get to the 4. Well, we were 4 last time out.
We were. You're right. We moved up.
Yeah. But, you know, we appreciate everybody out there that listens. You know, to all our podcasts, all our platforms that we're on. Means a lot. Really, really does. I want to ask you guys a couple of questions before we get to the officials this week, if possible. Is that cool?
Mm-hmm. Sounds good to me.
Willie, I'll start with you on this one.
Okay.
How do you think Diggs really plays? Does he have a I told you so game? Or, nah, we knew better?
I lean, nah, we knew better. I hope he has an I told you so game. And I think Herbert's the kind of quarterback that could lend to that. He'll throw one up that you're thinking, what are you doing? But I don't know about the pass rush. And I also just don't know how good that knee is. I mean, it's strange because there's people that I trust that I was talking with that had heard, like, man,
ain't good.
That knee might never be what it was.
Sure.
You know, and obviously he's healthy enough to play or they wouldn't have even been considering it
right
to practice him. But I wonder if he's physically capable of getting back to that same player. So I hope that it is I told you so, but I'm leaning, yeah, we knew better.
Dawson, is he going to have the I told you so game or, yeah, we knew this?
Man, I think it sets up well for him because of how emotional he's going to be coming into this thing and trying to prove everybody wrong. And the power of the story is in play here. Like, whatever can cause maximum pain and embarrassment for the Cowboys organization is likely to happen. And that would be him being amazing, making everybody think they could have beaten Detroit if he had played in Minnesota. But I do think a lot of it comes down to the edge play. And, mm-hmm. I mean, the Cowboys aren't bad at getting pressure.
Yeah.
You know, they just can't finish.
Yeah,
so
the finishing's been the issue.
They seem about due. And here are some of the worst tackles in the sport, once again, providing the opportunity to whoop them. So I think Fowler, Ezeraku, Clowney, they set the table. James Houston for a good Trayvon Diggs game.
Well, I got another question for you.
Okay.
How are you going to feel when the Commanders beat the Eagles on Saturday?
Don't tempt me with a good time now, Brian. I'm going to be feeling pretty good. Look, I love seeing the Eagles lose.
Yeah.
And I really do. There's something about this game on Sunday that I just think the Cowboys are going to end up playing more towards the team we saw against the Chiefs and Eagles. It just feels like they did it around the same time last year. They find a way to beat the Bucks.
Does that bother you?
It does. It bothers me. I hate the Jekyll and Hyde nature of this team, the lack of consistency with this team. But the Chargers are also one of those teams that you don't know what you're getting week to week. Like, they are a good football team, and Harbaugh's helped mitigate that somewhat.
Yeah.
But they do have deficiencies, and I have a lot of doubts about Herbert. Like, he is the prototype of the position. He'll make throws that nobody else can make, but he'll also make decisions that are rookie-like decisions. So I do think this lends itself for maybe the typical when you think the Cowboys are out of it and you don't want them to win and you're down and out, they find a way to pull you back in type of game. So especially if they're not technically eliminated, it just creates I want to be able to, in a perfect world, like, enjoy the football season. And your team being eliminated with 3 weeks left is a terrible feeling.
Dawson, how are you going to feel when the Commanders beat the Eagles?
About the same as I felt going into Minnesota, where your playoff chances were, what, around 8%? Sure. At that point, I think you move up. But you still got to, you got to at that point, walk a four-game minefield to make the playoffs still, because their magic number's sitting at one.
The likelihood it's not there, but it keeps it interesting for a week.
I got you. Final question for you guys, too, before I get in the referee report here. If you had to say, hey, I do these last 3 weeks want to see more, who do you want to see more of when it comes to Mingo, Maffa? I mentioned Thomas. James is the guy you brought up. Butler. Who is there somebody on your list as you look at the two deep off our lads?
Yeah, yeah.
And figure out, is there somebody on that list that you'd like, listen, I want to see them play this guy. Is Joe Milton, is there somebody that you want them to play?
That's the joke answer, is Joe Milton, because he clearly can't play, but you want them to lose their three remaining games. I'd love for Joe Milton to start and play every single minute and them not run him. Let's come up with the Joe Milton preseason plan.
Joe Milton pocket play?
Yeah, that would be awesome. That might be heading for a top 10 pick, but seriously, I want the running backs. I want Jaden Blue and Phil Maffa.
Co-sign. Yeah, I mean, I'm a Maffa guy. He blew me away in training camp. I didn't really know what version of Maffa we'd get. But I think that he does have a similar style to Javonte Williams. So I just want to know if the price tag for Williams somewhat goes up and it's like, hey, this is too rich for us. How do you feel about the fallback of having Phil Maffa? Blue is in that category as well. I mean, I'm into the culture building where if he hasn't earned it, don't put him on the field. But I'd like to see what I've got in those two rookie running backs going into the offseason.
Well, where do you guys feel about Mingo then?
I don't think Mingo's any good.
Okay.
I think that was a bad trade. He hasn't been able to get on the field when they've had injuries.
Yeah.
The blocking has not been as dominant as I thought it would be. He's been okay. I think Jonathan Mingo is what Jonathan Mingo is. And the Carolina Panthers were laughing their ass off when the Cowboys were trading a fourth-round pick to them, and it was a terrible trade. I think Jonathan Mingo's a guy. No disrespect to him. I don't know if he's in the league in 3 years.
Yeah, I would love to see him play just to see if how much development has happened under Clayton Adams and Connor Riley organizing that running game. Because we really have only seen Mingo in that Mike McCarthy offense, but he is so big and physical.
Yeah.
As a pass catcher, I think he's always going to be like only when he's wide open. We should not be throwing him for contested catches or anything too sophisticated, but he's so physical in the run game that I'd love to see him at least try to unlock it because of what you did give up for him.
All right. Your official in this game is Alan Eck.
Have we had Alan?
Have not had Alan Eck this season.
It's a new name.
Yeah. Alan Eck is a recently added official last 2-3 years. Alan Eck's been with us. By the way, the officials last night in the game, that was Brad Allen's crew. Brad Allen's his crew calls the least amount of penalties of anybody in the National Football League. Alan Eck's crew is right there with him.
Let's go.
Yeah, actually, the only guys that call the only two crews that call fewer penalties are Ladd Clark's crew, Land Clark's crew. I say that, Land Clark.
Land Clark.
That's him.
Yeah.
And Brad Allen. Alan Eck's crew is right there with him. And what's interesting—
too many rules in this game.
What's interesting is very much Alan Eck is a kind of a home official. Well, on average—
give me the Cowboys. They're winning the damn game, boys.
Well, Alan Eck has officiated a Chargers game. In week 7, he caught the Chargers and the Colts playing in a game. And then, he's very much a home type of an official. Generally 11 calls against the home team, 14 against the visitors. So we'll see how that plays out at the end of the day. Where you look at the majority of his penalties and where they come from, offensive holding, big. Defensive pass interference. Here's one for you. 11 away calls for defensive pass interference, only 4 for the home team. Unnecessary roughness, there's 8 of those, so he's going to try and keep control of a game. delay of game. We've got a clock watcher here. He's got seven of those calls of the 13 games he's officiated. So be very mindful of that. Here's one, too, roughing the passer. That's seven calls. Of 13 games, he's got seven roughing the passer penalties. It'd be nice if Dallas could get close enough to rough the passer. That might be something that that would be a good thing. Defensive holding, illegal contact, and then a legal man downfield would be the next one. So, Alan Eck, he is your official this weekend, and tends to favor the home team more than the visitors, and his crew overall, though, the third less penalized crew, with only Land Clark and Brad Allen being ahead or behind him.
Should be a more watchable game. I always appreciate light flags on the afternoon. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Krusty's Corner every afternoon, 3:40, brought to you by Greystone Roofing. Go to greystone-roofing.com. We got the other big games you need. I like to call it the OBGYN report as we go into Week 16 and why it's still possible the Packers might go quietly into the non-playoff night. That's coming up next here, the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.